Morning. Are we all good? Good. It is, so as some of you may notice, my first ever time leading worship, so bear with me. Thanks. I've
round of applause
worn
you start.
The appropriate hat. I decided this week to just ask a load of different people what their favourite worship songs are, so this is a accumulation of those. I'm going to start with one that we always sing at Girls Brigade camps and stuff. It's This is Amazing Grace. You want to take your seats? Suzanne's going to come up and do a reading for us.
Morning. First reading is from Hebrews 11, verses 32 to 40, and is on page 1008 in the Church Bibles, if you want to follow it. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And of these, though, commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had promised something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes it boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. The very beautiful and lovely carol. I'm trying to get in your good books, Kath.
How much do you want?
From you.
Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be together again this morning, and very welcome to those who are watching on YouTube. It's a great pleasure to have Ada, get it right in a minute, Nike and Addy with us this morning. Nike is from the YBA, and she's a regional minister, and I'll leave her to explain a little bit more about what she does perhaps later, but it's lovely that you're with us. Thank you very much for coming. No midweek activities this week, except the lunch club will be meeting at 12 o'clock on Thursday as usual. And next Saturday, the 1st of June, will be the prayer meeting down here at church, and that's at 9:30. We've been having a bit more of a clear out. I'm not sure there's much left, to be honest, but we found some of these boxes, which we've not used for a while. There's one for the Home Mission Fund, and there's one for Adopt a Child. And they're really good for just popping loose change in. You can actually make it up. I'm not going to attempt to do it because it'll not work. But they're at the back. If anyone wants to take one, a lady gave me one the other day, and she'd just been popping bits of cash, you know, twos, fives. They were £20 in, you know, so it soon mounts up, and they're all for really good causes. The newsletters are out. I'm hoping everyone will have got one as they came in this morning, but if not, please take one. Give them out to family, friends. There's lots of information happening within the next couple of months, so please do take one. All the information, of course, is on the website. Thank you to Janet and Chris for sorting all this out for us. It's really invaluable. And the Facebook page. And, of course, if you need to speak to someone, please do. Just give us a ring. There's always one of us around. Before I sit down, I'm just going to bring two more verses of scripture. They're from the book of Ruth, which is on page 223 in the Pew Bibles. Very short book, but lots of stuff in there. The first one is from Ruth chapter 1, and that's verse 14 to 22. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi, when the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. And the next reading is from Ruth chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed, and he was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Would you like to come and speak to us now, Nike, please?
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's such a joy to be with you again. Some of you will remember, maybe you do. Someone was very gracious. I think it was you, Carol. You remember Daddy, didn't you, as you walked in? And he was really excited. Oh, somebody remembered me. So that's great. It's such a joy to be with you again this morning. As you said, I am a regional minister with the Yorkshire Baptist Association, and you as a church are part of the YBA, the Yorkshire Baptist Association, because we are an association of churches that choose to join together in covenant relationship with one another. So that's why we are an association together. And I'm a regional minister, which means I get the awesome privilege of traveling around churches across Sheffield, Doncaster, Barnsley, Rotherham, and Huddersfield. So I kind of hop across into Huddersfield and support the churches, whether they are in ministry or not in ministry, meet up with deacons, come and preach and get to know people. It's such a privilege, and I don't take that for granted at all. It's a privilege. So that's part of what I do. It's not the whole thing, but that's part of what I do. And I do want to say to you as a church, I really applaud how you are getting on after You have, after David has completed his ministry among you, you're thriving. It's such a joy to be among you today, to hear the prayers, to hear you chat. In fact, when I was doing all the mic check here, nobody was listening. Everybody was just chatting away. For me, that is always a wonderful sign of relationship within a church. So I want to say well done. And I want to say, I'm sure you do want to say that too, to the leadership of the church who have been faithfully leading during this time. So on behalf of all of you, I want to say thank you to every one of them. Some are in this room, some are not. God bless you all and continue to strengthen you as you keep on this wonderful role that God has given you. So you are doing a series on Heroes of Faith, and I wanted to bring a word for you on one of the heroes of faith that isn't actually named in Hebrews 11. Have you noticed that? That when you read through all the heroes of faith, first you get the A-listers, you know, the ones that are given like pretty chunky space. And then after that, you come to verse 32, and then it says, I can't tell you very much about Barak, and just name Gideon, kind of drops a few names there. And then it stops dropping names and starts telling you what these heroes of faith did. And I wanted to go not even to the B list or C list. I wanted to go all the way down to maybe the Z listers and pick someone from there. And I want to do that because actually many of us in this room will never consider ourselves as heroes of faith. If someone said, who are the heroes of faith? We'll kind of like look down and walk back a little bit. Not me. You might look around and think of one or two people who you know in this church who have been Christians for a long time, who, you know, have stories to tell of all sorts of things that they've done. And you might say, maybe they are heroes of faith. But I do want us to talk about this hero of faith, because I really believe that each one of us in this sanctuary this morning is a hero of faith. Each one of us is a hero of faith. And I want us to look at the life of Ruth, who many of us know, and not, maybe not everybody would know. And if you've never read the book of Ruth before, I really want to encourage you to do so. It's only 4 chapters long. You can read it in like 15, 20 minutes, I think. She's the person I want to talk to us about this morning. Ruth lost her husband relatively young, and she lost, on the back of losing her husband, she lost her 2 sons as well. If anybody had life rough, Ruth had life rough. And Ruth actually had left her own country. Her husband had said, when the famine broke out in Judea, come on, let's escape this famine. Let's go over to Moabite country and let's live there during that time, during the famine. Unfortunately, she encountered these huge difficulties in life. And when she went through those challenges and difficulties, I have to ask myself a question. What was there about Naomi's life? Did I say Ruth just now? Did I say it was Ruth? Sorry, I meant Naomi. Beg your pardon. I meant Naomi. So Naomi was the one who'd experienced that with her husband. Her husband was Elimelech. They had left their own country and went into Moabite country, where one of her sons married Ruth. So while they were there, I want to ask this question. What was it about Naomi's life? In the midst of all the huge challenges that she experienced, that made a difference to Ruth? What was it about Naomi's life that made a difference to Ruth? You know, I think about all of us. I think about myself. I think about the challenges that we face. I'm sure if we all sat down here and decided to have like a swap stories day, we will all be able to swap stories of all the difficulties and the challenges that we've come across in life. And some of us will say that as Christians, we experience mountaintops and then we also experience valleys, don't we? We all say that. And actually, I also like the way that Rick Warren describes it, the one who wrote the book, what was it called again? Purpose-driven life, the one who wrote Purpose-driven life. He said, didn't he, that actually life can sometimes be like a twin track, that actually nearly always in our lives we will have situations and circumstances that, praise the Lord, are going good. And even when life is difficult and challenging, if we look, we will find, as we sang, reasons to bless the Lord. Remember we sang the Lord, we sang that song, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. We will find reasons to bless the Lord. So whether you subscribe to the mountains and valleys or you subscribe to the twin track, the reality is that we all go through challenging situations in life. But I want to suggest that there was something different about Naomi. That in the midst of Naomi's challenges, in the midst of her difficulties, in the midst of losing her husband, becoming a widow, and then losing her two children, which, by the way, in that culture, we must realize is kind of slightly different to our culture. Because if that were to happen to us in our culture, we probably might have a job still. And even if we didn't have a job, we'll have the safety net of the social security system. In their culture, that was not the case. There was no security. If you lost your husband and you lost your sons, you were destined to a life of penury. So what was it about Naomi that still was attractive? And I keep asking, I ask myself that question. And I think my answer was that she knew God. She knew God. And the knowledge of God that she carried was enough that in the difficulties and the challenges that she had, the light shone enough for Ruth to see that light. And on that day, at the side of the road, when they were there on their way back to Bethlehem, do you remember? Here was Naomi saying, go back to your family. Both you, my wonderful daughters, you've served me well, go back. Offer went and turned back, but Ruth said something. Ruth said, do not stop urging me to leave you. It says, stop urging me to leave you. I don't want to turn away from you. I want to keep following you. And she said, where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. And then she said, your God will be my God. Then where you die, that's where I will die. Where you're buried, that's where I'll be buried. What would make a person who was raised a Moab? She was Moabite. She was raised in Moab, a Moabitess. What would make her change her mind to leave the comfort of her family, to leave all that she's ever known, and to choose to follow a woman she'd only known for about 10 years? I want to suggest to you that there was something about the light or the knowledge of Yahweh that Naomi carried, that Ruth, who was closest to her, one of the people closest to her, could see and decided, I want that too. My question to all of us in this space today, God has gifted us with people who we know. God has gifted us with people we meet in the workplace, people who are our family members, people who are our in-laws. And I want to particularly thank God for godly mothers-in-law in this room. Can I hear an amen? Godly ones, you know, those who don't, they're never known with having, you know, mother-in-law tongues or anything like that. They're gracious mothers-in-law, people who love like Naomi would have done. Now, those are the kind of people that God wants us to be. God wants us to be light carriers. People who will shine the light of Jesus wherever he has placed us, to the extent that others will see our good deeds and give glory to our Father in heaven, Matthew 5:16. Those are the kind of people that God is calling us to be. People who will shine that light so brightly that others will have no choice but to see the light of Christ in us. And I think this is so very needed. We sang that wonderful song this morning that, Lord, we are your church. There is no other plan. We are God's plan. God has no plan B. It is through us that the 52% of people in the UK who no longer go to church, it is through us that they will see the light of Christ. They're not going to come in through that door. Can I just say that? Most people are no longer going to work through the doors of a church. It's just not the way our culture is anymore. We've got to get to the place where our light so shines that people would ask the question, what is different about you? And I want to encourage us, we can be the light. That is why the scripture doesn't say, you manufacture the light. No, the scripture says, let your light so shine. The light is in us already. We don't have to strive. Let your light shine before people, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. I want to encourage each one of us today that we would need to continue to live our lives in the recollection that we carry the light of Christ. And the amazing thing about the light of Christ is he doesn't give it to us today and then tomorrow he decides, oh, you've had enough, I better take some back. I come from Nigeria, and there's a funny thing. When I was growing up, we had, and as happens in many developing countries, we had intermittent power cut. So there was never 100% power all of the time. And if you've ever lived, some of you who've lived abroad might find if you've lived in a developing country, that's just how it is. So you'd find that a phrase became very, very, very common. The power supply company was called NEPA, National Electricity Power Authority. And every time the lights went out, everybody shouted, NEPA, in exasperation. But Jesus is not like that. He is no NEPA. His light in us shines all the time. Hallelujah. And all he is asking for us is to be people who will let his light shine so that others will see this good work and give glory to him. Good works are important for Christians to do. Anytime, it might be the Holy Spirit just gives you a nudge. Send someone a small bunch of flowers. That's a good work. Prompted by the Holy Spirit, just do it. Because we have no idea what that will do in the life of the person who receives it. It might be that you are in the office and you notice someone is just quiet. Just sidle up to them. Don't just say, how are you? Just say, is everything all right? That is the light of Christ shining in you. Because maybe nobody else had noticed that day that they were down. That might be an opportunity for them to share what's happening in their lives because they notice that you care. God has given us the privilege in this world that we can let the light of Christ shine in us so that others may see our good works. When they see our good works, however, we must be ready to give an account of the hope that is in us. And I think that is where some of us struggle a little bit. Because when other people see what is in us and they ask, I remember Ade, my husband, some of you will remember him from when he's been, but you know, if we met you in the car park, you probably left us as he was walking, making his way slowly into the sanctuary because he had a stroke 8 years ago. But the fact that he had a stroke 8 years ago has not stopped him letting the joy of the Lord be his strength. And people often would ask him that question, how are you able to be so cheerful? And I have to promise you, he's not just cheerful when he's among other people. He's actually cheerful all the time. That is just how he is. He has not let the vicissitudes and the challenges of life drag him down. He has remained joyful. People have asked him that question. What a wonderful opportunity. And he is a medic. He doesn't get a chance at work often to share his faith because the power dynamics will mean if he shared his faith with a patient, unless they asked, it will be like you are in the position of power, they're not, and there will be a problem. So he doesn't. But as a patient, oh my goodness, you couldn't shut him up because now he's the one who doesn't have the power. So every medical profession, anybody in the medical profession who asked him a question, how can you be so joyful? They get the answer. It is Jesus. This is my faith. I know, I believe in a God, and he's the one who strengthens me. Can I invite each one of us to be ready? Which is what it says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says that always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you about the reason for the hope that is in you. If you're here and you feel, to be honest, Nike, I'm not quite sure I know how to give an answer. May I invite you to find someone and practice with them? You might say, that sounds a bit odd. Why is that odd? Do you know that that's what Jesus did with his disciples? He first preached the good news, and they saw him do it lots of times, and then he sent them out in pairs to go and do it together. And I can imagine the first few times they did it, they might be thinking, whoops, that was not quite as good as Jesus would have done it. But then they had another chance and another chance and another chance. But we don't take seriously the issue of preparing to give an answer. Sisters and brothers, let's make a serious effort to learn how to prepare to give an answer for anyone who asks us of the hope that is in you. And maybe when we're having teas and coffees after the service today, who knows, some of us might get to practice together. You know, people talk about trying the 1 minute pitch. You know, the one about the elevator pitch. What would you say if someone asked you, why are you so joyful? Prepare what you will say and try and do it in 1 minute, because people's attention span these days are not like they used to be before. And do it again and again. I get the privilege, I used to, until like a couple of months ago, I used to travel to Leeds on the train and then take a taxi back from Sheffield City Centre home, because the buses at that time of the day were just not, I'd wait forever. So I used to do that. And you know, bless every taxi driver who took me. They got a chance to hear the gospel. Nearly all of them did. They did. And you know what I did? Every time I'll share the gospel, I will always reflect back and think, Nika, how did that go? Did you ask the right questions of this person? What you shared, was it right for them, for their faith? I would look back at what I'd done just so that next time I could be better at sharing my faith. I don't know about you. Does that feel a bit too much? I would say no, because we carry the light of the world. This is the salvation we spoke about and sang about this morning, that we said it's what the world is waiting for. If it is so precious and so important, then I think we need to give everything we've got to be able to share the word of Christ with power and clarity. Amen. So we talked about Naomi, that she was a light carrier. I'm going to just spend a bit less time talking about Ruth. This amazing, incredible woman was brought up a Moabitess. And I want to say to you that, I'll leave you to go read that out because of time. I won't really go into that. But actually, the people of Moab, even their origin, if you want to, you can go to read Noah's story after the flood and find out how the Moabites came into existence. Okay? I'm not going to say that this morning, but do find it out and talk to one another about that. But this were a group of people who, in the book of Deuteronomy, the Jews were told, the Israelites were told very clearly that none of the Moabites, I'm reading from Deuteronomy here, it says that none of them should enter into the assembly of God's people to the 10th generation. And it says why. There were two reasons. The first is they didn't meet the Israel. Do you remember when Israel was coming out of Egypt and they were passing through all sorts of territories? When they got to Moab, they sent a message and said, can we come through your land? And we promise we won't touch anything. We just want to walk through. And the Moabites sent message back and said, absolutely not. Other countries not only let them come, but brought them provision and were generous, but the Moabites were not like that at all. They said, absolutely not. And not only that, later on in the history, what they did was they hired, you remember Balak? Do you remember him? They hired him to come and prophesy against the Israelites. So for those two reasons, God said to them, they're not to ever enter your congregation to the 9th and 10th generation. And yet, we read about this incredible woman called Ruth. Ruth, who was raised a Moabite. Ruth, who knew what it was to worship their gods. but who chose in those, remember those incredible words I've already shared with you today, who was saying, don't urge me to leave you. I want your God to be my God. Ruth chose kindness. Ruth chose to walk with Naomi in her pain and her grief. But beyond that, Ruth chose to enter into a covenantal relationship with Naomi's God. Do you know that that was what happened? With those words that she said, do not urge me to turn from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will. That's a covenant. There on that road, on the way back to Bethlehem, she was making a covenantal relationship with Naomi. And she kept that covenant to the end. I want to say to you that we know the end of the story because we read, didn't we, at the end of the book of Ruth, that things went well for them. In the end, not only was Ruth, did Ruth marry? Ruth married Boaz, a very wealthy man. Not only did she marry Boaz, a wealthy man, she even bore the grandfather of David, King David. How great, how amazing is that? King David himself. She ended up, a Moabite woman, ended up being the progenitor of King David. Can I say, she did not know that when she made that covenant relationship. We have no idea when we express, when we show kindness to other people. We have no idea what God's going to do with our kindness, but we're not kind because of that. We're kind because the light shines in us. And therefore, we want the light of Jesus to shine through us. So I want to encourage us that even here in this room, as Baptists, we have a belief in all of us together as his people in a local church, being in covenant relationship with one another. Do you know that? Do you remember that? Do you talk about that? Do you remind each other about that? That actually that is one of the things we believe as Baptist people, that we are in covenant relationship with one another. When we are baptized by immersion, we're baptized into the body of Christ. We're baptized into one another. We are in covenant relationship with one another. I want to encourage you, especially in this time when you are in interregnum as a church, to remember to watch over one another. That's what covenant relationship means, to watch over one another. Be gentle with one another. Be kind-hearted to one another. Watch over one another. If a brother or sister is in need, do what it takes to meet that need. I was so blessed hearing you answer to prayers and sharing together. I was blessed by your time of prayer. It's very clear that you're a people of prayer. You're a praying church. I mean, poor Alice, I think she had to stop you from praying. They could have gone on. If you hadn't said, can we pull our prayers together? They would have gone on. You are praying, people. Pray for one another. Stand with one another. Love one another, that other people will see. You see, in this world that we live in right now, one of the things that is in short supply is love. Love is in short supply, especially towards what people now call the other, people who are different to us. Because it was very easy, it could have been easy for Naomi to say, actually, Ruth, you're not one of my people. You can't come back with me, and tell her, you're not coming back because you're not one of us. But no, she looked across the barrier to someone that she would never have perhaps even talked to. Don't forget, 9th to 10th generation, no Moabite was ever to enter the company of God's people. But she went over, she crossed over to welcome Ruth into her family. I want to encourage us to watch over one another. If you don't see someone a Sunday, a second Sunday, ring them up, ask after them. Don't say it's very British, because I know it's a bit British. Oh my, we can't ring them up. They'll be saying, are we chasing them? Are we? No, make them know that you missed them. You missed their company. How we express these things matter. If you express it in the sense that you've missed them, people will get the message. And even if they don't get the message, well, you've done what God has asked you to do. Let's watch over one another in this time. And one other thing about the life of Ruth that I love is Ruth was willing to take risks. Ruth was willing to move beyond her comfort zone. Don't ever think it was an easy thing for Ruth to leave her family behind and come and choose to go with Naomi. I know that because I've left my own country and come to live here. And I have to say, when we chose to come here, we only chose to come for 1 year. And then Adi turned around to me one day and said, I think the Lord is saying we should stay on. I'm like, I didn't hear that. I want to go back home. I didn't hear that. I think it's... And the more I prayed about it, honestly, I remember to this day, the day I said yes to God, it was through gritted teeth. I was lying on the floor. I know so well. I knew where I was. The two of our kids, the two girls, our two older girls near me, I was playing with them. And I thought, all right, God, I'll stay. But it was through gritted teeth. And part of it was on a day like this, when it's gray and dark and it's not sunny. And I'm not the only one, but I'm sure you're the same. You're like, oh, I wish it could be sunnier. But yeah, but here I am believing that this is where God wants me to be. It was not an easy choice for her to make. How about you? When God asks you to do something that is beyond your comfort zone, what do you do? It was beyond my comfort zone to choose to stay in the UK, I can tell you that. Because God was moving mightily in my country at that time, and I wanted to be part of that. Because we prayed for that for so long. So many people were coming to faith. I wanted to be part of that. But then God said, stay. And it was outside of my comfort zone. What do I know of 1066? I now know a little bit about that. But what do I know? But it was beyond my outside of my comfort zone. I want to encourage you. What is God saying to you to do? If it is outside of your comfort zone, trust Him. That's what Ruth did. Ruth trusted God, that this God that I've chosen to follow, He will see me through. And did God come good for her or not? Of course He did. He did. So I'm going to time my sermon up, bring it to an end now. There was just one other thing I wanted to share with you, but time would not allow me to do that. But I just want to say that we are continuing to write the story of our God and our Savior here on earth. Acts chapter 28 ends very abruptly. Don't know if you've ever noticed that. It's never neatly timed. Whenever scriptures are, you know, letters are written, or even if you read like the book of Romans and all of those other books, they're nicely tied together, neatly at the end. Either someone says, and please send my greeting to so-and-so, or they give a doxology at the end. The book of Acts just ends abruptly. That is because you and I, we are the ones that need to keep that story going. Just like Ruth kept that story going. Just like Naomi and Ruth saw God's hand upon their lives. We are to keep that story of the book of Acts going. And I want to invite you today. How is God calling you to let your light shine? And where is it that God is inviting you to step outside of your comfort zone? Right, Ruth? How will you answer that call to our wonderful, glorious Savior? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we honor your name and we worship you. We give you praise for the book of Hebrews and that chapter 11. We thank you for how you enfolded so many people into that wonderful chapter about the heroes of faith. We thank you for Ruth. We thank you for what she has taught us today from her life. We thank you for Naomi and what she has taught us today as well from her life. And we ask you, Lord, would you help us as your church, as your people, to be those who will be willing always to step outside our comfort zone for you. That when you call us, when you tell us, when you invite us, would you help us to always have a yes for you? And Lord, we want to ask you as well, Lord, in this season and this in this age where so many don't know you, Lord, would you help us to be prepared to give an answer for the faith, for the hope that is in us as your people? Father, we yield ourselves to you as a covenant people. Would you help us to watch over one another with love, that we will care for one another, that others who see the love of Jesus be made real among us as a fellowship will want to become part of us because of the love that we have for each other. So we thank you once again for the power that is in your word. Lord, may those words enrich our lives throughout this week. May we mull them over and over and over again until our lives are impacted by the things that we've heard today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Shall we say the grace to end? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
and the love of God,
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.